Join us on the Next Gen Tech Talks podcast. Explore the forefront of technology with engaging discussions. Each episode offers fresh insights into the latest tech trends, addressing real-world challenges, opportunities, and interests that you, as an IT reseller, might encounter, or that your customers might inquire about. We delve into a wide range of topics to keep you informed and ahead of the curve.
Just imagine you open your fridge and there is always milk for your coffee. Or you're waking up and you know exactly how long your sleep was and how healthy it was. Agriculture, healthcare, smart home, or logistics. That's our topic today. We're talking about Internet of Things. And welcome to Also's Next Gen Tech Talks, as Europe's biggest technology provider. Also is dedicated to exploring the latest trends and innovations driving the future of technology, naming today Internet of Things. I'm sitting here. My name is Andrea Peters. I'm your host for this podcast. Not alone. I'm sitting here with Jonas Paulsen, Group Lead Sales Lead Internet of Things from Also. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I really look forward to this. As you mentioned, I'm Jonas Paulsen. I'm a city in Norway, based in Norway, and I'm the Group Sales Lead for IoT in Also.
And Jonas, how would you define Internet of Things? You know, when you come in a group of people, they have no clue about Internet of Things. How do you explain what your job is?
Yeah, well, so Internet of Things is a collection of technologies, really. You can say that if you start listening to the world around you, there's a lot of devices out there. There's a lot of data to be extracted from all the things we see around us. These things, they're sitting with some sort of connectivity, right? And when you extract that data through connectivity and you structure that in cloud and you start visualizing the data and understanding that data, that's Internet of Things. That's when you can start to drive some proper efficiency and productivity out of what's going on around you and with the things that we can see around us.
All right, so there's the technology. They use sensors, cloud computing, wireless networks as Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or whatever. And with this, it comes to real life, to our daily life.
Absolutely. So, yes, you're right. All these things that we see around, they are equipped with sensors. And they're also equipped with some protocols that can send data. Absolutely. And most of this today is based on wireless connectivity protocols, such as you mentioned, such as Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, or more specific IoT protocols, such as LoRaWAN or narrowband IoT, SIM card or network-based connectivity. When this data is shipped to the cloud, it's sort of unstructured, right? So you need a really proper IoT platform that can massage this data and make it usable and able to use for the applications and the automations that you want to use it for. And though that process is sort of the complexity behind IoT, and that platform itself, that's where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. and the data becomes really valuable, right?
You know, I was looking for two examples that are kind of funny in our daily life and maybe I haven't heard about concerning Internet of Things. And there were two things. Are you curious what I found?
Yeah, please.
The first thing is in 2008 already, there was a toaster with a Twitter account. A toaster tweeted its toast status. So that was kind of, have you heard about that?
Yes, I've heard about that. It's really funny, right? It's really interesting. But the fact is that all these things that started off maybe a little bit as a funny gesture or a thing, when they have been massaged and developed, it can really make our everyday life a lot easier and a lot more healthy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For example, if you take our kids and their classrooms, to have control of the climate they're sitting in, to know the CO2 levels, to know what sort of environment our kids are surrounded with, that starts to become important, right?
Mm, of course.
There's even EU regulations now that that is looking at this exact case that we're mentioning now. But if you know that the CO2 level or the VOC levels in the air is rising, then okay, for starters, it's then easy to open a window, right?
Mm-hmm.
To change the air out a little bit. Or if you go a little bit more complex, you can even automate the ventilation based on that insight. But the key thing, you know, it is to know. We need to know what's going on around us.
And you know, Jonas, what you're saying about it's easy to open a window. Yes, for us, you know, you sitting in Norway and I'm sitting in Berlin, we could say that. But in some Asian countries, for example, my brother sitting in Manila on the Philippines, it's not that easy to open a window and the air would not be that fresh because it's like a, you know, the city is so big and the air has to be transformed somewhere different. So maybe that's also a chance to get new technology to get us healthy, right?
Absolutely. And that's where automation comes in, right? That's where you can start. But still, it's important to know. It always starts by knowing. If you know what air you're in, if you know what's going on around you, then you can start looking for the solution to make it better. But if you don't know what's going on, then it's hard to look for these solutions.
Yeah, interesting that you try to understand the whole system and then to change it to make the world a little more healthy and better. And, you know, the second example, though, because otherwise I will forget it over the episode, I want to tell you about the second example I found on Internet of Things. And I thought it would be something in, I don't know, in technology, in Hollywood or whatever, where it comes from. But no, it's from agriculture. And it's meaning that farmers use sensors to monitor fertility and health of their cows. So I didn't even know that it goes so far in our, I mean, I drink not cow milk, but, you know, soy milk every day. So It's in my daily life, Internet of Things, already.
Absolutely, it is. And agriculture is a great example of where IoT is being deployed as we speak. And the fact that you can gain control of growth rates of your plants or even the location of your cattle or your animals, right? To get that information, to have that understanding of what's going on, that can make you more efficient in your daily operations. It can make you more productive and your end results will be better, right? Because you have that control constantly. And the same goes, you mentioned cows, right? If you look at today's atmosphere or culture in agriculture, there's a lot of focus on animal welfare and the freedom for animals to walk on larger open spaces, right? And not for that little tight, in-fenced space. By utilizing trackers, by utilizing IoT solutions, you can open up that space. You can leave the cattle or the animals, your fields outside, right? They can walk around and you have alerts, you have geofencing and automated fencing for your cattle or for your animals. So they don't leave, but they're free to walk on a larger space.
That's nice. So Internet of Things, IoT, gives us a freedom. Why do you think is IoT a key focus area for us also and also? And why is a topic to focus on for our customers?
It's a really good question. In also, we are really good at embracing ecosystems. And IoT is a great example of an ecosystem. We mentioned those four technologies, right? The sensors, the connectivity, the data platform, and the applications that makes up these ecosystems. And to make our resellers able to be in forefront and our partners able to be in forefront of today's technology trends, to provide this ecosystem for them, to to help them succeed with making the world more efficient or their little world more efficient. That's key, right? It's a great opportunity for growth and a great opportunity for scaling business into new areas and new fields of doing your business.
Yeah. And how do you keep being updated? Because it's developing so fast. So I think every minute there will be a new thing of Internet of Things. So how do you keep updated?
Well, luckily, we have some really good partners with us, right? Both on the customer side and, of course, on the vendor side. To listen to the vendors, to learn from them, to study the market and to learn from our customers, that keeps us on the tippy toes and on the forefront of what's going on. Then, of course, there's a lot of media on IoT as well, or on the Internet of Things as well, that we read up on and we follow to make sure that we're on top of our game. But most importantly, we learn from the cases we're in. We learn from the vendors that we have in our portfolio. And we provide and we try to stay on top of everything that's going on.
Can you say something what you're working on right now? Or is it too much into the details and, you know, the data? You can't really talk about it? Or
No, by all means. For example, in Norway right now, we have a deployment of a case in unstaffed hotels. Unstaffed hotels means that it's more exposed to noise at, you know, hours when you don't want to have noise there. By equipping all these hotel rooms with sound sensors, and these sound sensors are then, of course, sending data to our platform where we structure the data and we share alarms from our platform to an alarm company. That allows for the hotel to keep unstaffed hotel and guest satisfaction at top of the ratings, right? Because when an alarm goes to the security company, they can easily call up the hotel room and say, hey guys, you're being a little bit too loud. How about turning it down so we don't have to come out and shut down your party or whatever, right?
That is great because, you know, I'm often in hotels and I love having a quiet room, for example, to work, right? Like we are recording a podcast right now. I'm in my studio in Berlin, but often I'm in hotel rooms. And then sometimes the surrounding is so loud, I cannot do my podcast or my voiceovers for the radio or something. And I'm helpless. I don't know what to do. You know, I can call the receptionist and say, can you be a little quiet, you know, because whatever. So if I knew in advance, it's a little loud, I could reschedule my dates of podcasting, or also, you know, when they call me, they can say, hey, this and this is a proper room for you to go. Is it more, it's more quiet. So it goes the other way around as well, right?
Absolutely. And that is the beauty of Internet of Things. It gives you predictability and it gives you insights to what's going on, basically. And that's also another case that we are working on. Actually, we've equipped a warehouse with or a logistical center with 160 sensors. These sensors measure everything from temperature to gas levels on the it's a gas heated location. So it measures gas levels, it measures temperature. We even implemented the weather report, and we can really see the usage and consumption of electricity and how that evolves when there's a lot of people in there, when the weather's cold, when the weather's hot. And by learning this information and learning this behavior of the climate in the warehouse, we can actually predict what is going to happen over the next week or over the next 1 month, depending on the weather forecast and depending on how many people we then assume is coming in there. And by that, we can start controlling, you know, the temperature in the warehouse. We can start controlling the lighting. and we can save costs on power and electricity. And it's a huge return on investment.
Today's episode is brought to you by Alzo IoT Platform. Empower your customers and grow your business with a platform seamless to IoT solutions. Whether you are helping clients implement IoT solutions for smart cities, industrial automation, or home automation, the Alzo IoT platform has the tools you need. Visit our Alzo Cloud marketplace at alzocloud.com to discover Alzo IoT platform and take control of your smart ecosystem.
Of course, you know, you save energy and you save nerves. Nerves of the customers coming in and sweating, you know, feeling not comfy maybe. And actually for the warehouse, it's huge. So they have a big more a higher level of comfortness within their rooms. And I feel, you know, to shop something, I feel more easygoing when there's nice music, when there's a nice smell. You know, as there were some studies on going shopping that people buy more of the leather when the smell of leather is within the rooms. So I can imagine that buying, I don't know, a bikini or like a jacket would be better within the right temperature, right?
Absolutely. And that brings you over to the next vertical where IoT is really blooming as well with retail. For a retail shop to gain insights in customer behavior, right? So both ways, the customer can feel comfortable and have the nice smells and the nice atmosphere when they're in there. But the shop can also see the behavior of the customers coming in. Seeing if the customer stops outside their shop window looking at what's going on in the window display, right? If that attracts them to go in, where they move in the shop, and they can optimize their exhibitions or their shop exhibits based on customer behavior.
Can you share a story about a time when IoT technology made a significant impact on your daily life or your work? I mean, you're surrounded by that every day, but maybe there was this one thing where you said, okay, wow, that changed everything or something.
Yeah, well, I can at least share a real story where cost savings for one of our resellers is really driving the future of that company. There's a big car manufacturer in Europe that ships spare parts from their central production facility out to all different workshop locations, right? These spare parts, they're quite expensive. It's a costly thing to lose, right? So we within the pallets that this was shipped on, we placed a Bluetooth gateway and a tracker, and we equipped every box with a little beacon. That allowed the company to have insights in where these boxes were shipped and where their location was at any given time. That reduced their loss of inventory by 80%.
What? 80?
Exactly.
80, 80%.
80 less loss than what they had before the IoT solution.
Wow. So, you know, you can actually say, maybe there was some criminal. I mean, I'm just, you know, imagination here going on, but, you know, maybe there was a criminal. I don't know. And I mean, 80%, right? And he was maybe having something out of getting this pricey product. And then, of course, he had to stop because there's new technology. I mean, you could make a movie out of it, right?
But yeah, based on my life as well, there's, of course, examples. I have a hobby, which is surfing. And to be able to track my every session or whatever I do, right? My trainings, my surfing sessions, to be able to track them, see what I did there, analyze that, and adopt my next training session. That's also IoT. And that has an impact on my everyday life, and I believe many others as well.
Of course. I mean, as you're mentioning it, I have this watch, and not this one I'm wearing right now, but I have a watch that is giving me data on my pace of running, on my pace of swimming and bicycling. So when I've done triathlon, is it in English triathlon as well? Yeah, triathlon. Okay. Then I could really see what day is today. So can I go further on my level? You know, can I really kind of exaggerate with my training, because then I have a little pause. So how far is it to the next race? And with a watch, I was able to, get really better. And then at one point get the first place in my age category. And I was really surprised, because it was with the help of a watch and with the data. Of course, I had to do my training myself, right? Not the watch is not running or swimming or bicycling for me, but still it did a lot for me in training. It was kind of a training partner.
Exactly. And it's a lot easier to optimize your training and to learn from your behavior based on this.
But, you know, when we are talking about all that IoT, what do you think, what else is there? So do you have an idea of what the future will bring of IoT? But let's not say in 10 or 20 years, maybe next year and then the year. But also I want to know, what do you think, what is in 50 years? But maybe this is the last question. But, you know, let's look like in 2026, 2027, what's going on in IoT?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's have a little look at what IoT actually is, or what it is actually now.
Yes.
Because IoT has been a hype for a while, right? And the business side of IoT has been, to an extent, a bit difficult for our resellers or the market in general to commercialize on. But with the structure we're in now, with the offer of a complete ecosystem, we make it possible to succeed for IoT partners already now. It's not necessarily something that is coming. It's something that's already here and important for our market to adopt and to take ownership to, so that we can together lead the way towards the future, which is 26 and 27, right?
Yeah.
And if we look Yeah.
But are the companies aware of that? I mean, do they know what's really possible with IoT?
More and more, I believe. We see certain segments of our market really adopting IoT. We see end customers in most verticals truly adopt IoT solutions and drive efficiency on this today. We as a IT channel can be better at adopting this and owning the cases here. That's for sure. We are here to help succeed with that. Absolutely.
And how can you help with that? I mean, do you put it out there, just explain it, or it's a really an individual talk with your partners where you can help them?
Absolutely. And with our setup, with the fact that we provide the full ecosystem here, we provide the sensors, we provide the connectivity, the IoT platform and applications, we can allow for the resellers to be the architect for their end customers. So to architecture the solutions based on the end customer needs. So the IoT structure, it stays the same, right? You always have data source, a sensor, you always have the connectivity and the platform, and you always have the application. What changes a case is the choice of sensor, the choice of device, and the choice of how you use the data, meaning what application you choose to use, whether that's an AI application or if it's a automation system or even predictive maintenance, right? So by utilizing our IoT platform or our cloud IoT platform, that becomes your trusted partner in architecturing these solutions. the more flexible that IoT platform is, the more tailored solutions you can provide to the end customers, right?
Mm-hmm. And is there a chance to implement IoT also with a system that is already there? So or does it all has to be new?
No, naturally you can implement what's already there, whether it's existing HVAC systems, so ventilation systems, or if it's sensors deployed somewhere or machines that sit with certain protocols in a production facility, right? Mm-hmm. A good IoT platform such as ours can always read this data, can structure the data and make it very usable.
Yeah. You know, the other week I was in Hamburg in northern Germany. It's right at the Haven. And I was looking from Elbstrand, so the beach there within the city, on the huge, huge Haven. It's really mind-blowing if you see what's going on there, the machines, how big they are. And I was thinking, are there people sitting inside of these machines? And the next step was, maybe in some years there won't be people sitting within the machines and maybe there won't be any harms, you know. Sometimes, I mean, where people are, they get hurt somehow at that job, maybe, you know. I mean, that happens to me as well, right? Just to trip and then fall in the studio, have the hot coffee on my arm, whatever. But if I would be sitting somewhere else doing my job and then again thinking of the Hamburg Haven that was sitting somewhere else, they cannot be hurt that easily. So does Internet of Things also help to make our work life, yeah, more safe?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you look at cars, as you mentioned, autonomous vehicles, that's one of the big trends within IoT, right? IoT and AI goes hand in hand to solve autonomous vehicles, whether it's big machines in mining fields, you know, knocking out rocks, or if it's self-driving cars on the highway. That's IoT, and that really. Well, today we're skeptical, most of us, right, to self-driving vehicles.
Yeah, kind of,
but
yeah.
Perhaps in 15, 20 years when these vehicles have been proven to be safe, we're sitting there and saying, hey, you were crazy driving a car yourself yeah. back in 2025, right?
I mean, I could imagine that the statistics on the safer car driving would be really different if the human beings do not drive. You know, if I'm in the studio, right, making the radio program, whatever, the main failures come from the human beings. I have to say, it's me. It's not the technic.
Normally it is like that. Normally it is like that. And IoT can help us. Okay, maybe we don't have to go to 2055 and look at self-driving vehicles, but we can go till next year and look at how IoT can help us reduce faults or reduce mistakes. Like we have certain car brands now that come out with assisted driving, not self-driving, but assisted driving. So, or most cars have that now, right? And that's a great tool to avoid accidents. And that's IoT.
You think Internet of Things can also how the cities are planned? Because this is a big topic in my head all the time. Less cars in the city, more green in the cities because of the climate, because of the more of the rain that's coming in the city. So maybe we can regulate the rain, the water, and the steam and all the heat within the city with IoT.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure it's going to take a while until we can regulate the rain. But I do believe that we can manage the manholes, for an example, that where rain is becoming a problem. And to start to get insights in the water levels in the manholes or in the streets in general or in the rivers to start preventing flood. That's doable. That we can do with IoT today. And that is a focus for a lot of municipalities and communities for the next couple of years. We see that development constantly evolving and taking place across our markets.
If you had a wish, would you wish that there are more states like Germany or Norway start to use IoT? Or do they already do that? Do you have a clue about that?
The states, the municipalities, the public utilize IoT more and more. Some countries and some markets are, of course, better than other at adopting these solutions. I think it's important for us to be at the forefront of this and suggest to the value-added resellers and to the municipalities itself how to solve these problems. Because even though they're starting to look at this, they don't really know necessarily how to solve the problems.
Yeah. I mean,
we can help them with that.
Exactly. That is so important to get connected, to help each other, because, you know, me as a journalist, I have no clue about Internet of Things. At least I didn't have a clue 30 minutes ago. Now I'm a lot smarter thanks of you, Jonas. But some there need to be a network of, you know, smart people helping one another. And also you have that thing kind of, right? So you know about AI, you know about Internet of Things. So how do you get to meet up and how do you update each other on that?
Well, so we definitely have a strong team in also both in AI, as you mentioned, and in IoT. In IoT, we have a development team, we have support engineers, and we have business development and consultants that can help solve the cases that are out there. We meet up and we talk, we discuss solutions, and we help each other every week. We discuss amongst different departments as well. So I discuss IoT solutions with Ognian that you had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago on how we can better collaborate between IoT and AI and how we can better solve the customer problems together than in each pillar, right? Because this collaboration is also key for success.
Exactly. I think this is key for success, as you said, like that also can help the partners by, you know, talking about it, I don't know, while having a coffee. If it's digital, like we are doing it right now, or if it's in a group, so you help each other out, kind of. Do you have any last words around Internet of Things and how also can help the partners to increase their business? You know, some may have an idea, some might not have an idea. Can all of them approach you and just ask how IoT can work for them?
Naturally, and I encourage them to contact both me and my colleagues as well. We are here to help out. We're eager to build cases and to assist where we can. And I really look forward to speaking with a lot of the guys out there.
Well, then, big thanks to Jonas Paulsen. Thank you that you've been on that podcast of Internet of Things. I'm a lot more into the topic, and I'm more curious now that I know a little bit of Internet of Things. Jonas, do you have anything more to say about the future of Internet of Things, or some aspect that you say, okay, wait, before you drop that topic, I got to say something to Internet of Things?
Well, as we talked about before, Internet of Things is already here. It's growing stronger every year, every month. So don't hesitate. Reach out. We're here to assist. Let's define how IoT looks in the future together. And Andrea, thanks a lot for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jonas, for your time and for your expertise. It helped me a lot. And if you are curious as well, dear listeners, then go on and get some more answers. You can get this on the other episode of the Next Gen Tech Talk by Alzo. We have plenty topics, for example, gaming. That is also one of my favorite episodes, Jonas. If you hear the gaming episode, maybe you can talk about Internet of Things and gaming also on a totally different level. I don't know. That would be like my wish for what we can do with this podcast. My name is Andrea Peters. I'm a journalist and host of this podcast and happy to have more guests within the Next Gen Tech Talk. Jonas, thank you. Greetings to Norway.
Thank you, Andrea. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.